We'll look into God's Word, into the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 12, Mark 12, verses 28 through 34. Mark 12, 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard from the reasoning, heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, Jesus speaking, of course, asking him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. I'm not sure where the scribe came from. It's intriguing where he did, it's where he showed up, a man like this, that just jumped right into it and was intrigued, all ears. It caught him instantly, and he was interested, and he was listening, and then he asked the exact right question, and he was ready for the answer, whatever it was, and he was thrilled with it. Kind of a reverse. He was commending the Lord how correct he was. It's really incredible. Amazing man. Today, if you were, I don't know, maybe you've heard this phrase or not or used it, but sometimes in a group you might be talking and someone says something pointed and you go, someone might say, right on, right on. Well, in essence, he was saying that to the Lord, right on. No argument. This is it. And then he went on to explain more and repeated it. It's no wonder the Lord said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. That's a good, that was a powerful conversation. And the words were not just right at the time, it's fact. You know, people use the word love in many ways. Embarrassing ways, really, sometimes. They do what they can with it, best they can, I guess. But the fact is, God is pure love. God is love. God is what love is all about. And so we think, of course, well, then how I'll connect with him. How do I do that? I'm gonna love him. How do we do that? Well, one might say, I believe in God, so therefore I must love God. Well, it doesn't work like that. James 2:19 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So it's great to believe there's a God. But that's a long ways from whether we love God or not. The way especially that we just read in Scripture here. And so, to think, okay, now how are we going to connect to that kind of love? Especially if it's not just a matter of believing there is a God. Man has a problem, don't we? Because we've been separated through sin from that love. Sin separated us. We don't know that love anymore. We don't know about it. We read about it. People that have it talk about it excitedly, as he, even Caleb mentioned. But how do we get that? We can't manufacture it on our own. It might go back to man's science. You can't manufacture something from nothing. And if we don't have it, how do we get it? How do we connect with it? It's got to be far, far beyond us. How do we produce it? It's impossible. But God, in all of that love, made him reach out in that love and make a way. Make a way that we can. It's possible for us to do that. Romans 8 or 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's his love in action. His love in action towards us, so we can also benefit. You know, John 3:16 is such a wonderful verse. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And sometimes I read this, I think, oh, the one problem when I read this verse, I think, it's too easy to skip over God so loved the world. It just seems like that should be stretched out. God so loved the world. We just need to dwell on that. He so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so we could experience that kind of love. We don't have anything but our need of it. We can't bring that kind of love to match God. We just bring our, all we can do is bring our need. Thank God for his faithfulness to show us our need. What does that? His love. His love again. It's always his love. Back to his love and our need. And then we bring our need to him. He shows us his love. And when that begins to connect, it melts our heart. When that really connects, it'll melt your heart. If you haven't experienced it, it will do it. In fact, it'll melt it in such a way you don't have to try to worry about, well, maybe I guess I better repent. You will repent. It just happens. It just melts your heart and brings you to repentance. And repentance just starts pouring out from the love of God reaching out to us in that kind of a manner. And his love to our heart connects. And what does that bring? Joy. Peace. Like we've never experienced it before. What a marvelous thing. First John says, perfect love casts out fear. That enters in. 2 Corinthians says, we're a new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new. That's pure love. That is the love of God. What an item for God to help us connect to and to make the most of. The love of God. And when you get that connection, well, that's a two-way street. Love's a two-way street. Of course it is. And so when that connects, that love's going back and forth. And if it starts, if it diminishes, that would be on our part only. Remember, not God. He's pure love. That would only happen on our end of the stick. And with the words we just read is, God help us. We want to love you in this way. We have every right to, and we do, and you put the love in our heart. From there on, what do we do from there when God saves us? Cultivate. His love's there. Cultivate our love for God. Cultivate your love for God. I remember when the Lord saved me, and being rebellious and raised around the gospel, it was an amazement that God actually finally, he saved me through my own difficulties in holding back, making it difficult. But I remember the first time I went and prayed after service at the altar as the convert, and I thought, boy, this is nice, great, but I'm not sure what to pray. The Lord saved me. You know what to do? Tell the Lord you love him. Tell the Lord how much you love him. You owe him everything. And this is what all the commandments, everything is built on. This is what will carry us on through, is our love, having that flow going back and forth. That's what we now concentrate on. We have keep our love for God fresh. We'd keep it flowing. And this kind of glorious salvation and new life continues. And what does it do? We just keep our love in place towards God, and he will keep on directing our life here on earth until we end up in heaven eternally with him. And we can seek his will. Psalms 48 says, I delight. This is from someone that loved the Lord. I'm staying right there. I delight to do thy will, my God. Thy law is within my heart. Remember, this is where all the law and commandments lean on. Thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will, whatever it is. You might want this or this, but Lord, if this something else is your will, I want that. Our love for God keeps that in action, keeps that moving. It'll keep us on going, and we'll want it, and God will give his direction. We need lots of direction, don't we? All the time. We find one direction and find out we need more direction in this and that and everything else. And Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Oh, we want to keep our love fresh. We want to keep our love for God right up where it belongs. He needs to know all the time simply how much we love him. That's powerful. Many times we don't know what to do. We have problems. Well, don't know what else to do. Concentrate on how much you love God. Tell the Lord how much you love God. We can always go to that prayer. We can always let the Lord know that. We have big things. Healings. Many prayer requests for healings. And thank God for all the healings that we hear and the victories along the way. Things like that can be huge mountains. Don't know what to do. We can't do it. God can. And God loves us and wants to do us good. But what can we do? Tell the Lord how much we love him. We can always just tell the Lord how much we love him. It's amazing how much that does for our peace. How much that does for our confidence. How much that settles us back into the peace and joy of salvation. And just enjoying the love of God. Yes, things rest on that. When he asked about, when he's going on and leading people that love him, and yes, maybe for healing, you know, you can never get beyond that love and thanksgiving to God. The 10 lepers that called out to the Lord. They needed healing, and he said, go show yourself to the priest, because that was the order of it. Do that. And on their way, in obedience to God's word, they were healed. One man came back. Is loving God and being thankful to God and telling God how much we love him and are thankful for all he's done for us important? Ask that one ex-leper that came back, and he let the rest go, and he went and found the Lord and said, thank you, thank you, thank you. He said, where are the other 9? How important is our love for God? What it does, it steers us right every time. And he brought back there, and he was thankful, and he said, go and sin no more. He got healed, and he got healed spiritually. He followed his love for God. He followed his thankfulness unto the Lord. In John 13:1 says about Christ, here we are, Passion Week, he says, Christ loved them until the end. That's powerful, because he had a plan of salvation. That's completeness of love. That's pure love until the end. Not part way. Not when it got really rough. Not when he got to the cross. He loved them unto the end. He loved them all the way, even when the Lord had to turn his own heavenly Father, had to seemingly turn his face from him because he took on our sin. And God can't look on sin, and he had to take our sin to the cross. Regardless, at that moment, when he didn't feel the love of God, he held on to his love for us. That's incredible. He loved them till the end. That's our lifeline. God's love for us, holding on to his love for us, regardless of what it took him through. Should we love him? How could we help not love him? Love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Is that too much? Not hardly. You know, the Lord, even as they continue to follow like this, those that love God with all their heart, he came to the point, he said, I call you friends. And he said, better all the time. John 15:13-16 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I have not chosen you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You haven't chosen me. We didn't choose him. We love him because, what's that song? Because he first loved us. And this is the circle we want to be in. If you're not saved, you want to be in this circle. Just pour out your heart and let God's love touch you tonight. We want to be closer in this circle. We don't want to stray from this circle. We want to love the Lord, me of those that love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yes, it'll lead us in the Lord's prayer for us. It'll keep on leading us. You keep your love for God in this right place, it's going to continue to lead you forward spiritually. It will lead you. It will drive you and help you. In John 17, continuing along talking to his disciples, and then he, in John 17, 16 and 17, goes like this. He prayed to his heavenly Father. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We keep loving God, we're going to ask for sanctification. We keep loving God, we're going to want to ask. It's natural to ask God, sanctify me, set me apart for your use. After all, I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. So set me apart for your use. Our love for God will take us with the disciples. Our love for God will take us with the disciples when they headed to Jerusalem after the Lord, at the Lord's command, when he was departing into heaven. Go there, stay there till you be endued with power from on high. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Our love for God will take us there too. It'll give us a hunger for that. Our love for God will do that. It just does. Keep the love in place. Keep our love where it belongs. It'll take us all along where we need to go. It'll drive our heart. It'll help our heart and take us to there where we're ready to consecrate and say, Lord, count me in. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. The Lord can make us what? Witnesses. It's amazing. Regardless of our personality, God fills us with his Holy Spirit and we're going to testify. We'll be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. And it's amazing how it does that. Yes, we're still personalities. But still, we have a witness there. There's something there. We have a burning desire to just, I can't help it. I've got to say something for the Lord. The Lord opens the time and the way. I will do that. Well, when it comes to time for the Lord to leave, how is the Lord ever going to leave this earth and leave the whole mission of the gospel to a few people that are still struggling with even getting a handle on it? And it's going to be all left. It's kind of frightening, isn't it? Oh, no. God knows what he's doing. What is he looking for? Do you love me? I mean, where's he going to start with that? Where did he start? He found the disciples after he had risen, yet before he had gone into glory. They were fishing, you know, all that story, and them fishing, and they had 153 fish on the shore, catch of a lifetime. And they were sitting there flopping on the shore while they were with the Lord. These are fishermen that like to fish, but they're with the Lord. And so they're there. And so how is Christ going to take and help them? What does he do? Right back to ground zero, if you want to call it that, where we read, Peter, do you love me? You think, where is he going to start? All these books and all this cram course and all this. No, Peter, do you love me? Everything hinges on that. Our love for God. Don't worry about God's love for us. Look what it's done for us already. And he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? I mean, my mind goes to the fish. He was a fisherman. But might wonder, I don't know what their conversations were before this, what they may have talked about or not, whether it was other people's opinions, other disciples, something like this. It doesn't matter what. For every one of us, something we like a lot, first thing that we love to do, it could be that. It doesn't matter. Do you love me more than these? That was the whole point. And Peter said, well, Lord, you know I love you. No, Peter, don't slough it off. We can't do that. We're not going to get off like that. Do you love me? Yes, you know I love you. No, Peter, do you love me? He was grieved. It stirred his senses. Stop and think, Peter. Do you love me this much? Do you love me enough? Do you love me more than the big catch that actually he didn't even catch, the Lord caught it for? Told him to throw it on the right side. And isn't that a fact? Many things in our own life that maybe we want to brag about. But the fact is, probably God gave whatever it is to us and the ability to have it. Do you love me more? If that's down pat, then he said, Peter, feed my sheep. But he said that after every time. Can we grasp this? Of course, you know, he said this three times to get his attention. A child might simply interpret it like this. Do you really, really, really love me? Well, in essence, that's what he's saying. Get down there, Peter. And so he was grieved. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. In other words, you know all things. In other words, you know what degree I love you and what degree I don't love you. And he does. But oh, we want to be at the top. We want God in the front. All the time. What a difference. And God's always, if we're following God, he'll check and ask us, where are you? How are you doing? Where are you? Where am I? And he's so faithful. He's so faithful that we listen, he'll remind us, you know, I stopped at nothing for my love for you. I stopped at nothing. Do you love me first? He's always asking that. God is so faithful. We make it complicated. God keeps it simple. Right there on the first and second commandments that everything else lies on, brings it right back there. It's amazing. Amazing what the disciples accomplished with just them getting the fact down how much I love God. So we can't do better than that. And thank God we have another opportunity, another privilege to be in God's house. And what a wonderful setting we have here right now to have an opportunity to pray and simply tell the Lord how much we love him.